Morning, church.
Morning,
Mark. Cool. Hey, babe. It's my babe. Ko tukumaru te waka, ko pukiatua te maunga, ko rongaranga te awa, ko pukiatua te marae, ko Calvary te whānau, ko Wanyamata Baptist Church te whare, my home, my house. Ko Frank tuko matua, ko Alice tuko whaia, ko Mark tuko ingoa, nō reira, nō wane marahau, nō reira, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa. Wow, good morning, church. Oh, what an awesome start to the morning. Oh my goodness, I had to unfog my glasses. What a privilege it is to be here with my family this morning and bring what I believe God's placed on my heart. I'm going to read from the Bible. Thought we might start there. Can I? I'm going to pass the Phil and Anthony are good at this. I'm going to ask everybody to stand while we read the word. Etu. So we're reading 1 Peter 5. You can follow along in yours, on your paper, on your tablets, on your phones. Yeah, make sure you're on your Bible on your phone, not Facebook or Twitter or. Starting at verse 1. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who will also share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing. As God wants you to be, not greedy for money, not eager, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade. Yeah. Woohoo! Yeah. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends her greetings. And so does my son Mark. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. Enoho. Thank you. That Mark they mentioned there, that's just not me, just saying. And it's not actually his physical son Mark, it's his spiritual son Mark. So we got asked the question before, how are you living? So how are you living?
Great.
Awesome.
Very good.
Are you living with eternity with Christ in mind? Or are you living with the reality of this world and how to manage your time in it? So a couple of things. This morning when Royce said, how great is our God? You know, I had to think about it. And I was sitting there going, my wife should say something. My wife should say something. Because, you know, after a couple of years of having to deal with a health issue, finally, next week, she gets to see a doctor for it. A couple of years. We're praising God for that. Financially, we've had a bit of an issue there. And finally, That's looking like it's going to get sorted out. It's bureaucracy from ACC that were causing the problems. Finally, it looks like it's been, so we praise God for that. I had a school trip and it went far and beyond anything that I could have imagined. Fonterra ended up paying for everything. I couldn't believe it. Thank you, Lord. I remember we were talking when the war broke out in the Ukraine and we're hearing about all these families that were broken and children without any parents and no one to go to. Me and Joe were talking and it's like, we felt for these kids. And it was sort of like, how would we get one? And we left it there. I've ended up with two children from Turkey who are refugees in my class this week. Amazing. You know, God sort of answered that conversation, that prayer. I give God the glory and the praise for it. And I was talking, this is, I haven't even started my message yet, by the way. But, you know, part of that also, you know, I try and making connection with these two kids who, you know, they've lost everything. Come to New Zealand, only been here for 4 months. And I made a connection with them by teaching them about the Quran. What, you say? What? So we're talking about the cyclone, Gabriel, or Gabrielle, because it's a girl. Wonder why cyclones are named after girls? No idea. Anyway, so even though it was a girl's name, one of my other students said, oh, there's a Gabriel in the Bible. And I'm like, yeah. Spoke to Daniel. And I was able to say to these two kids, you are celebrating Ramadan at the moment. And I talked about how the angel Gabriel spoke to Muhammad and gave him the first few verses of the Quran because he couldn't read. That's what they believe. It's not what I believe. It's what they believe. The connection I made there, the connection, the relationship that's now been... being formed, I'm a Christian and I've made inroads into the lives of these kids. They get to see Jesus in me 5 days a week. I see them more than their parents do. We are called, when Roy said, what's our purpose? That's our purpose. I look at our young people in the youth group. Amazing young people. They don't dress the same. They certainly don't act the same, and they certainly don't think the same. But you know what? My God loves them so much. And how are they going to know that love of God? Well, firstly, they're going to see it from me. I might be the only person, and the people that are helping with youth. Slight plug there, anyone that wants to help out, please come see me. But that's what we're called for, to represent Christ in those areas that we go into. That's your mission. Right, on to the message. I have to keep an eye on the time now. All right, so we've been looking into 1 Peter, and the theme is pretty constant throughout it, isn't it? It's, he's exhorting us then, and exhorting the people then, and he's exhorting us now to live our lives that with the reality that you get to spend the rest of it with Christ. Is that your reality? He also deals a lot with Christians being able to stand in the face of adversity and suffering. And in doing so, when we stand, we bring glory to God. We have this hope, but we're not there yet. We live in this hope, but we might not see its finished work yet. To trust and obey Christ, despite the experience this world we live in may presently be giving you. Are we looking forward to spending eternity with God? Are we looking forward to heaven? We are? Absolutely. So Peter starts this chapter and he's addressing it. He's talking specifically to some people. Elders. Not old people. like me, but people who are more mature in their faith. People who have more knowledge and have more wisdom about the things of God. Did you know that Peter is the most mentioned apostle in the Bible? Did you know that whenever they talk about all of the apostles or the disciples, Peter always gets mentioned first? Had you realized that? He walked with Jesus, prayed with Jesus, spent intimate time with Jesus. He was a witness to almost every major event that happened to Jesus. He was right there. He saw a glimpse of the glory at the Transfiguration. So would you agree he's pretty important? That boisterous, impatient, presumptuous Peter, he's important. He's the Peter we seem to have known, isn't it? What's happened to him? Something's changed. He could have talked it up as, I'm the most important. In fact, the book of Mark tells us all about Peter's life, almost as if Peter had told the story to Mark and Mark had wrote it down. Peter has learnt something. He's learnt humility. By example, right from the word go, he's showing humility. He's not saying, you as elders must do as I'm saying. He's saying, I'm actually just one of you. I'm not more important. I'm just one of you. I am the same. The following instructions that come from that letter are pretty direct. Who's read it? I had to. It's very clear what the instructions are. It's also really easy to see and understand what it's saying to the people he's addressing. Pastors, he's saying, shepherds, be shepherds, overseers, elders, leaders in the church. That's who he's addressing it to. It's pretty clear. When we think of shepherds, what do you think of?
Sheep.
What else? I think of quad bikes and dogs running around and forcing sheep to go where they don't want to go. Yeah, is that what you have as your image of a shepherd? Back in Peter's day, it had a much deeper and richer meaning. The picture they had of a shepherd was slightly different. The Amplified Bible says that a shepherd is to tend, nurture, guard, guide, fold the sheep. Not like a piece of paper, but fold is keep them together, like this. To be a shepherd was to be in there with them, not stood apart, not far off, but right there with them. They needed to protect the sheep. Our shepherds today are here to protect God's people from all the dangers that may be present. You love the people, you make sure the people are fed. I'm talking to them just like Peter did. You keep them fed. You look after the ones and go after the ones that wander off, and you bring them back. You lead out of love. You lead because you're called to, not because you're made to or because you have to. Carries on. It says, don't be domineering. Don't be arrogant. Don't be overbearing. Be an example. Be an example. Be an example. Wow. Our leaders, Royce, Liz, Tina, Ellen, Tom, Nellie, Phil, Anthea. They must have known I was going to do this because it's hardly any of them are here this morning. God must have said something to them. Church, have you really thought about what it means to be an example? Have you really thought what that means to those people. They are to be an example, watched continually. And it's true, isn't it? Watched. How they treat people. Watched how you answer questions. Watched how they treat their husband or wife. Watch how they bring their children up. How they talk. The things they do. The things they watch. Their whole life is given to you, to me, to us. By choice. Freely. Even if they wanted to, they can't escape that scrutiny simply because they are our shepherds, our elders, our overseers. Once you take that mantle, it never leaves. And church, here is the most amazing part. They do it freely. Out of love for God, I think, firstly, and then love for people. Love for the calling that's on their life. So I want to take this opportunity right now to just honour them and thank them. Royce, Liz, Tina, Alan, Tom, Nellie, Phil, Anthea. And guess what? I'm going to add two other people to this. And he's here today to hear this. Calvin Kramer and Carolyn. Yes. Because they took this mantle many years ago. How blessed are we to have as an example people such as these? We are blessed. They don't do it for fame. They don't do it for financial gain. They don't do it for power. They know they are not number one. They know they are not the chief. They know that Jesus is the top dog, numero uno, the head of it all, the head chief, the chief shepherd. And guess what? The Bible says he is going to reward them with a crown of glory that never fades. This is something that God has called them into, and they do it for him. So Peter now does something that I want to pick up on. But so firstly, I'm going to grab this because I want to pick up everything that I've just said and those people, and I want to put them in here. In this box. How many of us do that? Put them in a box. Yeah. Our expectations. Yeah. The box I chose was amazing because it's got stars on it. Because it's what I think of them. So the box was the best box I could find. I'm just going to put that there, and everything that I've said, that's there in that box. Because Peter does something very interesting now. All of that is our shepherds, our elders, and our overseers. I place that and all that you do there. Your life opened up for all to see, all there. Who can remember back to Royce preaching 1 Peter chapter 3? I know, such a long time ago. Come on, men, you know the verse. Wives, submit to your husband. Come on. But what we learned was that husbands know and understand how we earn that right. Through love, through service to our wives, we earn that submission. If you're not treating your wife with respect and honor, then you don't deserve to have that submission. Because it's like this again. See, our wives need to feel that you are worthy of that. Worthy of that submission. And that's what we learned. So Peter has already unpacked our elders, our shepherds and overseers, church leaders, and he does the same thing. He sees now that through their love, their service, their submission, they earn our respect and our submission. 1 Peter 5:5 says, likewise, Means the same as everything that they've done. Likewise, now he's talking to us. As these, our leaders, have submitted to God, opened up their lives to scrutiny, submitted to leaders, they've done the same thing, to grow and have become shepherds, become elders and overseers. They love and serve others for God's glory, not their own. And in that same way, likewise, you submit to them in doing so, so that you can have a crown of glory that never fades. So it was pretty plain and direct what the Bible said for elders and leaders and shepherds and overseers. Guess what? It's pretty direct for us too. It says, clothe yourself with humility. Who did we see clothe himself with humility? How did he do that? He took off his robes, he wrapped a towel around his waist, clothed himself with humility, and washed the feet of the disciples. He put on humility. He put on service. Are you willing to serve? Are you willing to serve the vision that God has given these people that we've just put in the box? The people they oversee, the people they shepherd, are we willing to serve each other as we walk together towards heaven, towards Christ? See, people with pride, and if you're following along, you'll see that I'm actually going through without reading the scripture, but we're following what Peter is saying. People with pride won't listen to shepherds, elders, or overseers. They are not prepared to be guided, led, or corrected. These people will blame others rather than taking responsibility for their own actions. People with pride will have their own vision and will not follow the vision that God has given our shepherds, our overseers, our elders. People with pride say how wrong the others are. People with pride will never be pleased and allow themselves to serve with humility. They want the top jobs. They want others to do the hard work. People with pride will pull down other people in the way they talk. Peter says God opposes them. My goodness, that's crazy. When I think of our amazing, most awesome, most powerful God, and he opposes the proud, that's not someone I want on the opposite side of me. I want him on my side. Yeah. The creator of the heavens and earth opposes. That's a terrifying thought. To have God against me. Oh, yeah, nah. No way. How do we not be like that? And he says, therefore, humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, and he will exalt you. He will lift you up. Joseph is a great picture of humbling himself. And then God lifted him up at the right time. Now, Peter's talking to a church that's been persecuted. And there is two things that Peter is exhorting us to remember. The first is we have a God and the promise of heaven. And the second one is that we have each other. We have relationship, service, where we are serving and supporting each other. That's service. We have the promise of heaven. The second part is we have each other. Relationship. Serving each and supporting each other. I actually like what Tony said. He said, I don't like giving out my problems. How many of us feel like that? Okay. There's a saying that says a burden shared is a burden halved. Well, there was a whole lot of little bags of sand inside that pack, and there was one big bag in there that Tony put before the cross. We heard Roy say this morning, cast your burdens onto Jesus. Whatever it is you're going through, whatever you're struggling with, give it to God. Try not to take it back. I know we're really bad at that. I'm really bad at it. I'll give him trouble, my troubles, my concerns, my worries, the things I'm struggling with, and then I tend to take it back and worry on it all over again. I just see God up there going, Peter is showing us that in an increasingly hot world that is increasingly hostile towards God, when we have shepherds that lead, overseers that love God first and then love the people, we have some people we can go to who are further ahead in their walk with Christ. We have people we can go to who have greater wisdom, greater understanding. When the world sees that in here, is that attractive? When we love each other, when we serve each other, when we're there for each other, is that attractive? Yes, then we will have a community that is attractive, a community that's ready to love each other, serve each other, put each other first. Then the world will know that you are his true disciples by the way we love each other. I want to be a part of that. The world will want to be a part of that. That's the whole point of knowing Christ, so that others that you come into contact with can see Christ and want to know the God that we love and that we serve. He goes on to say, be on your guard, because the devil walks around like a roaring lion. The devil doesn't want it to happen. It says prowling. That means he's hunting out, searching for someone to devour. Will it be me? Will it be you? Will he whisper in your ear? Will he bring people around you? Will he flood your social media with ideas and thoughts that destroy the loving and the serving of each other, destroy the respect and the honour that we should have for our elders and our pastors, our shepherds, our overseers. How's he going to do it? How do you think he does it? Any ideas? How is the devil, who prances around like a roaring lion, how is he going to destroy what God is trying to set up?
Brings division.
Puts doubt in your mind. Say that again, sorry?
Temptations.
Temptations, yeah. Yeah, brings temptations for you to... Confusion. I got a whole list here. I will go through it. And I think there are all ways that the enemy... See, when Satan talks into your ear, he won't say, oh, you're useless. You know how he talks? He goes, I'm useless. I'm no good. I have no value. Who do you think saying that? I think it's me saying it to me. And it's not. It's Satan whispering into your ear. He talks in the first person. When we talk about people behind their backs. When you look for fault in others. Now, I'm saying these things, but I'm not pointing the finger at you. I just want to make that clear. I'm just sharing how Satan will bring division, will break down the loving and the serving we should have together, and destroy the respect we should have for our shepherds. When we blame others instead of taking responsibility for our actions. When you look for fault in others instead of walking beside them and supporting them. When you think someone else will do it, someone else will take care of it. When you behave differently outside of church than when you do when you're around the church. When you ignore our shepherds, elders, and overseers. When we don't give our finances time and energy to the vision. When we don't even bother to come and be part of the people. When you allow your bias to get in the way of relationship with those who don't know Christ because of the way they dress, the way they think, or what they do, where they're from, who they associate with. When you have a disagreement with somebody and you don't go and put it right. When you think that your way is the only way and everybody else has got it wrong. Have a think about this statement. There is no hypocrisy in the church that is being persecuted because of Christ. There is no hypocrisy in the church that is being persecuted because of Christ. So how do we get on top of all of that? How do we beat that? How do we defeat that? There is a way. He doesn't leave us hanging. He doesn't leave us thinking about all that stuff. He goes, we need to resist the devil. Stand firm in your faith. We need each other to share our experience of God, to build each other up, iron sharpening iron, telling the stories of how, oh, God answered this prayer. God provided money for this. Man, I've been driving around the block for like four times, and I'm like, God, I need a car. And a car park suddenly appeared in front of me. We need to share these stories. Been waiting for the doctors for 2 years for a medical appointment and finally got one next week. I busted up my left side for the first time since October last year. I'm finally getting some improvement in there. Praising God. Not your fault, Yong. How do we do that? Well, we don't do those things that I just mentioned. I'm going to bring the box back. I'm going to put the box back over here. Because I'm going to take them out of there. I'm taking them out of the box and bringing them back to us. Because we're together. We are together. Can the worship team come up, please? We do this together. We be the church. We look after each other. This is how we don't fall into the trap of the enemy. We meet together. We serve each other. We find a place to serve here in church. You see, as we serve, as we work together alongside each other, we learn about each other, we build friendships with each other, we'll find out about each other's weaknesses, and as we saw, we're there to build each other up, prop each other up, help each other out, not to pull down. That's what the church is for. That's why we're here. We build friendships and find people who will say or sing, "Lean on me when you're not strong. I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on." Hey, how do we do that? We join a life group. We get around like-minded people. We read or we listen to our Bibles. Why do we need to do that? Because the Bible says faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. That's how our faith is built up. Our faith is built out by hearing the encouraging stories of how God has moved in everyone else's lives that we're mixing with, rubbing shoulders with. We can resist the devil together. Someone is only a phone call away. So who knows the armor of God? Who knows, who can tell me some of the armor of God? Breastplate of righteousness. Belt of truth. Helmet of salvation. Sword of the Spirit. Shoes of the preparation of the gospel. What's on my back? Pardon? What's covering my back in the armor of God? Yeah, you. You have my back. I have your back. We have each other's back. We resist the devil together. When we are of sound and one mind, he can't defeat us. He can't put a wedge in. He can't cause dissension. He can't create friction. Why? Friction. He can't do it if we are all walking together. We listen and respect and honour our shepherds. We don't put them in a box. We encourage each other. We support each other. We pray with each other. We confess our failings to each other. Because hands up if you're perfect. We worship together. We love each other. We show the world who Jesus is, by who Jesus is in us. I need you. I can't do this by myself. And neither can you. Neither can Royce. Neither can our leaders and shepherds and elders and overseers. We need each other. We are there for you. You're there for us. We need each other. We're going to be closing now. If there is something in there that has challenged you, that you would like to know more about, would need prayer about, then we will be down here to pray. If you want to know the Jesus that I've been talking about, that's in us, we want to pray with you. We want to invite Jesus to come and be part of your life so that you have everything that was talked about, that Peter is encouraging us to have. The team are going to finish with a song and we'll be down here for prayer. Nō reira, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa.